Graham Talks Pats. We're going to be going over the quarterback room today. It'll be our first positional overview. So, I mentioned in the last episode, my thoughts might be altered a little bit for different position groups during, the preseason once we actually get to watch these guys on our TVs rather than just reading notes about them, etc. Scouting reports, all that, but I figured the quarterback room is a pretty safe bet to start with. I think, Drake May, it seems weird to not want to talk about your franchise quarterback a ton, but there's not a whole lot to say. I think looking at the quarterback room, you're going to want to continue to see Drake May, be great this year like he was last year. I don't really think, obviously, there's no competition for him as the starter. As there isn't with Josh Allen or Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Matt Stafford or any of these other great QBs. There's no competition for him at the top. I think there could be a little bit of a competition at QB2, which we can talk about in a second. But I mean, really, you're just looking for Drake May to be great again. I don't think you're looking for him to, change his game a whole lot from last year. There might be, I think you're going to want to see him continue to be a leader. He's going to be a captain again this year, you'd imagine. And, you want him to continue to be a guy who can help guide new players like AJ Brown, like Romeo Dobbs, even Elijah Vera Tucker along the offensive line. You're going to want to continue to see, those players continue to develop even as veterans, with Drake May as their quarterback. Obviously Jalen Hurts is, I think it's a lot of hate for kind of on kind of no reason. But there's an argument that, Drake May is the best player that or the best quarterback that, AJ Brown's played with. At least based off last year. Jalen Hurts has had some fantastic years too, so I don't want to take away from him at all. But AJ Brown is gonna have some tremendous quarterback play this year if last year's any indication. Same goes for Romeo Dobbs. Obviously Dobbs played with Aaron Rodgers in that first year. When he was in the league, but I would say that Drake May is better than Jordan Love, so he's going to get an upgrade on the quarterback position. You obviously re-signed Hunter Henry, so he's going to get his binky back as the safe, reliable option down the seam. You see guys like obviously Diggs is gone. You lost 85 catches during the regular season with the departure of Diggs, but you got guys like Chisholm back who can potentially work with you for another year. Kyle Williams, obviously returning, Mac Collins, Kayshon Boutte, Pop Douglas, all coming back. Now, will all those guys make the team? That seems unlikely. It's not impossible, but it doesn't seem super likely to me. But regardless, you're going to have plenty of options. You've got options in the backfield. Ramondre Stevenson ended the 2025 season a lot better than he started it. With all the fumbling issues, those seemed to completely disappear towards the end of the year. He had two hands on the football and was performing really well once he got his confidence back. I know last offseason he had some family stuff going on with the passing of his father, so that obviously weighs on your mind. You'd imagine, especially as a professional football player who's got to be in front of everybody every week, in front of a national audience. But Travion Henderson started to come into his own last year, almost hit over 1,000 total yards. Was very close to 1,000 rushing yards as well. The guys surrounding him are better than they were last year. You have an improved offensive line, like I mentioned, with Elijah Vera Tucker. If he can stay healthy, you've got a guard there who's really good. You drafted Caleb Lomu, who's likely to be an upgrade over Vidarian Lowe, at least in the short term, as a swing tackle. I think you've got to be really excited with the future of this team. And for Drake May, it's obviously a harder schedule, so maybe the improvements and the harder schedule kind of balance each other out, and it's another 14-win season in New England. That's what you got to be hoping for if you're a Patriots fan. I think when you're looking at the players who were on the team last year and this year, like I mentioned, Hunter Henry, Travion Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson, players like Booty, like you're going to want to see continued chemistry between them. But I think there's pressure on Drake May, but it's not this level of pressure I don't think he can handle. It's not like he's playing with, Jalen Polk and Jevon Baker out there, right? He's playing with like legit NFL talent, multiple top 100 players, between offense and defense. You got a tremendous defense and special teams, tremendous coaching. And you've got a lot of pieces around you that are super, super exciting. And the Patriots should be a fantastic watch this year. I don't think there's any reason they can't be. And for Drake May, I think it's more than anything, you want to stay healthy, you want to find some rhythm early in the preseason. I think it should be really fun to see, some Drake May to AJ Brown connection in the preseason. I'm not sure if we're gonna get that in game one. I know historically game three has been the time to let your players play a little bit. Sometimes now, teams will have their backups play a little bit in game one, or more often the first half of game two of the preseason. So we might not see that this week so much, but it'll be fun to just see all those guys together on the sideline and getting ready for a season where, you're definitely going to be hoping to see, this team continue to have the success they had last year. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably do a little bit of a more like long form article on what a successful season might look like for Drake May. I think there's a legit shot in most other offenses. He hit 40 touchdowns passing. I think it's less likely in New England, given the fact that they run the ball in the red zone in particular quite a bit. You look at Ramondre Stevenson and TreVeyon Henderson each getting their fair share of the touchdowns in the low red zone. Terrell Jennings managed to get one too. I think there's definitely a lot of upside with Drake May. Obviously, as long as he's the quarterback on your team, you got to feel really, really good about things. Like I mentioned, there's not a lot to say about Drake, just because there's no competition for him, other than just to sing his praises. He's a fantastic quarterback, and you're going to be hoping to see him in the MVP race again in 2026. I will say I think the backup competition maybe is a little bit more interesting. I would have said probably a month and a half, 2 months ago that, Tommy DeVito is about as close as to a roster lock as you can get. Maybe without being one, but maybe his status as kind of a borderline roster lock has slipped a little bit. I think there still is a very, very strong chance that he's on the team. I'd say upwards of 90%. But Baron Morton, there were reports that in that first week of training camp, he was being outsnapped by the rookie. Morton, I think, knows his role as a backup. As a seventh round pick with, he's a 5-year college player. He's 24. He's a little bit older. You're just looking for him to develop and, become a sort of Brian Hoyer, become a, CJ Beathard, become just one of those like run-of-the-mill backup players who can, maybe offer some mentorship when he gets a little older, while also, being a backup that can be, maybe win you a game should Drake May go down for a game or two. Yeah, I think, seeing a guy like Baron Morton develop is going to be something interesting to watch this preseason. The Patriots don't have any other quarterbacks on their roster aside from Morton and DeVito. So, I think as a whole, you look at, what the Patriots have been able to put together and in the quarterback room, and I think you feel pretty decent about it. I think DeVito, like I mentioned, is still there's like a 90% shot to me that he makes the squad. I think Morton's is probably closer to like 40%-ish. I think it's probably more likely he gets cut than he does make the team. I think the thing saving him is that emergency third QB spot. I also think, I think what's probably the most realistic outcome is, if the Patriots want to keep another receiver, like they want to keep Kayshon Boutte around, or they say, hey, Braden Swinson, you had a nice preseason, we want to keep you around. The Patriots want to keep a guy who maybe sustains an injury, gets hurt in preseason, and then you say, hey, we want to keep this guy around for later in the year, but if we place him on IR now, we're going to miss him for the whole season. This is only a 4-week injury. Maybe Morton gets cut, originally gets signed to the practice squad, you place the other guy on IR, and then you sign Morton again to the roster. So that seems like a real possibility to me too. Or maybe the Patriots exhaust the three elevations from the practice squad those first couple weeks just to make sure they have an emergency third QB, and then after that third week they sign him back again. There's a lot of these like sort of roster semantics that come into play, especially towards the beginning of the season when teams are trying to, make sure that they have the guys they want on their pup list, on, guys aren't being placed on IR unnecessarily. You don't want guys stolen off your practice squad early in the season. So there's definitely going to be a lot of moving pieces there. And the Patriots will probably do some of that of their own. You look at last season, they stole four guys off waivers. You had Tommy DeVito, it was Corey Durden, it was Eric Gregory, and it was, I'm forgetting who the fourth guy was now, Charles Woods. But all four of those guys ended up being contributors for you at different points. Now, DeVito didn't play at all last year, but they obviously had some development behind the scenes that made them feel confident enough to re-sign him as opposed to keeping Dobbs as the second option. So that's really the only major change in the quarterback room is DeVito moves up from QB3 to QB2, and then you bring in Wharton to be that QB3. And they're not going to have the opportunity to be really high in the waiver claim order to get a lot of these top talents really quickly, or not really quickly, but have the first dibs at these top talents who get cut. So, maybe you see the Patriots send a sixth or seventh round pick to some of these other teams instead of having to compete through waivers or through open free agency for some of these guys. And that'll be something that's interesting that we can talk about over the next couple of weeks as they, get settled following preseason. So that'll certainly be something to watch. But, right now I think my prediction is pretty boring because it's pretty standard, and I don't really think much in preseason is really going to change it. Is Tommy DeVito's job a little bit less safe than it might have been in the spring? Sure, but I still think he has like an upwards of 90% chance to win the roster or win the battle for the QB2 spot and make the roster. I think it's maybe slipped from like 95% to like 92% as far as his odds go, being outsnapped by Morton. I don't really think there's much of a chance for Morton to be the only backup in New England, at least not this year. Next year is a different story, but unlike last year, I don't expect the Patriots to claim a QB off waivers or anything like that to add to the roster later in the offseason. I don't expect them to sign one during preseason, barring any sort of injury. You look at what they did last year, they had Dobbs as the two and Logan Woodside was the three, or not Logan Woodside, Ben Wooldridge was the three. Logan Woodside, actually the sort of player that you could imagine Baron Morton end up being. But the Patriots had seem under Mike Vrabel seem pretty set in their ways as having, being a three quarterback team in preseason, editing during the offseason as need be. So I think right now, if I've done a pair of roster projections so far. In the first, I had Morton making the team. In the second, I don't quite remember. I'm gonna pull it up now. Part of me feels like I had Morton being cut here. Let me see. When was this from? That was from June 7th. That was way too old. I'll pull this up. This will be the way I end it, is me trying to find my own article. But yeah, to me, I just think it's you're in a spot right now where I don't think you have the need to. Okay, actually, I have Morton making the team in both roster projections. I don't think you're in a spot though where you need to have just Morton be on the roster, where you feel confident enough, if, as with Drake May being, a 30-year-old or something like that, where he has more than 2 years of experience under his belt. I think you're going to want to have, a little bit of more experience beyond Drake May as far as just having a young player in Morton, but then also having a little bit of experience in Tommy DeVito. And, not to say Tommy DeVito is some player who's even played more than Drake May has, but I think there's definitely merit in having an older player on the squad at 28 for DeVito. We'll see when he turns 29. Okay, so he turned 28 just 2 days ago, 3 days ago. But, I think there's definitely merit to having a little bit of an older player on the roster in comparison to Morton, who, has zero NFL experience. Tommy DeVito's won games in the NFL before. So I think there's a little bit of merit in that. And, if May really does go down, I don't think it means a whole lot, right? Whether DeVito or Morton or any of these guys are starting, they're not winning, 10 games in a row if Drake May were to, God forbid, tear his ACL or something like that. But, if you need a guy who can fill the hole for a game, I think a guy like DeVito gives you a chance. Morton, wasn't great when it mattered in college in the playoffs. Got blown out by Oregon, put zero on the board with Texas Tech. But he's a 5-year college player who's an experienced college player, has dealt with injuries, has dealt with the recovery process. So I think he's got the maturity to and the attitude to be the sort of backup that can stick around in the NFL. So those are all key things to have. It's hard for me to back off from my original take that I've actually have in writing now twice with Morton being the QB3. I think him filling the QB3 role makes a lot of sense. That might be in a different capacity as a guy who's on the practice squad who gets elevated a couple times towards the beginning of the year as they, start to pop any of those roster bubbles that they might have for the first couple weeks as they maybe, maybe a trade for Kayshon Booty, for example, doesn't materialize till week two, right? And you want to have Morton still with the squad in the meantime. That could be something that you see happen. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of moving pieces there. I think it'll be easier to tell, not even necessarily after preseason, because that would imply that preseason would have a major effect on, whether Morton makes the team or not. And I think it does, but Morton would really have to, blow up preseason to me to get signed by another squad, given how much kind of shock there was around his being selected anyway, even at the 234th pick. So to me, I think the most likely outcome is that you see, Morton either start the year as the QB3 beyond DeVito or, on the practice squad, see a couple of elevations and then get out of there. So, the next episode will be on running backs. We'll probably throw Reggie Gilliam in there being a fullback. That one we'll have a little bit more to talk about.